Well, good morning. Thanks for having us back again. In case you couldn't tell by the title of the message, it's on peace this morning. Early in my Christian life, I helped teach a vacation Bible school. And in order to show the kids that salvation was a free gift for the taking, we would show them a candy bar and tell them that whosoever wanted it could come up and take it. And no one would come. A little while later, while we were talking to him, we again pointed to the candy bar on the table, and we said, whosoever wanted it could come up and take it. And they looked at each other and grinned, but no one would come and take it. We talked to them a little more, and finally one intrepid little soul finally came up, grabbed the candy bar, and quickly ran back to his seat. That's like salvation, we said. It's free, but you have to take it. And I thought, you know, at one time we were all like that little kid as we grabbed a hold of God's promise. And to some extent, we are all like those other little kids as God offers us another gift, free for the taking, that many, if not all of us, still haven't grabbed a hold of. And that's the gift of peace. You know, other than the Gospels, other than the Gospels, the vast majority of the books in the New Testament, the epistles to the Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, Peter, 1st and 2nd John, Jude, the Revelation, all open with some variation of grace to you and peace. The last time we went to the Union Rescue Mission, there were about 30 men who attended our service. Attendance is voluntary, so it's just the ones that feel led that show up, and they shout the songs that they would like to sing, and then Don plays them on his guitar, and the men, they sing heartily, and they know the songs, which leads you to believe that they have some church background. They say amen to the preaching. You know, we get the thumbs up while we're up there, and some come up and give us a hug when we're done. No one falls asleep. You know, they pay attention. It seems as if they have some familiarity with the scriptures, some relationship with God. And we always ask for prayer requests, and they write them down and they submit them. And of the 30 men, about a third of them submit a prayer request, so we get about 10. And last time, about a third of those, three, were prayer requests asking us to pray for peace in their lives. And granted, you know, they're not your typical churchgoers, and I would venture to say, though, like them, most of us do not experience the peace of God either. Does he say, in all these books we just looked at, grace to you and peace, and then only give us grace and not peace? I believe he has given it to us. We just haven't taken it. We have not availed ourselves of it. You know, he gave us grace, did he not? I mean, you know the acronym for grace, right? You know, God's riches at Christ's expense. So we've experienced God's grace through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, it says, by the grace of God would taste death for everyone, whom by his death destroyed him who holds the power over death, him who canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away, nailing it to the cross. So we have experienced the grace. We've taken the grace. We have the grace. Grace is good. We like the grace. But what about the peace? Are we content to say, you know, one out of two ain't bad? Is that the thought? You know, batting 500 in baseball would make you rich beyond your wildest dreams. But where God is concerned, there are no half measures. God doesn't bat 500. If he says, grace and peace unto you, then you better believe that you have grace and peace. We've got this. In James 2, we're told, you know, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, and then give them not the things that are necessary for the body, what good is that? So then, is God going to tell us, go in peace, and then withhold it? Not give it to us? I don't think so. We read in Romans 1:7, for example, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8, for to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Romans 15, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. 1 Corinthians 13, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 7, God has called you to peace. 2 Corinthians 1, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's said that the world wants peace, but it doesn't want the Prince of Peace. And we have to ask ourselves, we who pray for peace as if we don't already have it, we have to ask ourselves, do we want the Prince of Peace? Do you? And personally, I don't think the world really wants peace. War is good for the economy. Whenever the fires of war die down, someone will stir the embers and fan it into flame once again. But what about individuals? You know, when individuals say they want peace, it always seems to be contingent upon everyone else doing what they want or being subject to their desires. For example, I'll have peace at work if they, or I'll have peace with my neighbors if they, or I'll have peace with my spouse if he or she does such and such or this and that. We read in Galatians 1, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In Galatians 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Ephesians 1, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, for he himself is our peace, who made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. Ephesians 2, and he came and preached peace. He preached peace to those who were far off, it says, and he preached peace to those who were near. In Philippians 1, grace to you and peace from God our Father. Philippians 4, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 9, what you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. You know, we talked last time about our theme for 2024, and it was, but we see him. So I asked this morning, do you see him as the God of peace that is with us? Elizabeth Barrett Browning had a quote. She said, earth is crammed with heaven and every common bush aflame with God, but only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest just sit around and pluck blackberries. It's kind of an odd ending, but I like the first part of it better. Earth is crammed with heaven, every common bush aflame with God, but only he who sees has reverence, understands. We read that you're to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In other words, you know, tell him what you need and thank him for what he's done. It says, and the peace of God will, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I believe this passage teaches us to put our focus on God and not on the problem. Like Joshua and the spies. Joshua focused on God and the rest of them focused on the problem. Similar to a house built on a rock and one on the sand. They both saw the same storm, but they reacted in different ways. Just like Joshua and the spies reacted in different ways. You know, I had a good friend that was a good Christian brother. He was a great friend, actually. We got saved together, and he married a really nice, sweet Christian girl. And while they were newly married and in college and funds were tight, they gave birth to a little girl who, as it turns out, had cystic fibrosis. And for those of you that don't know, it's a chronic respiratory disease with a drastically shortened life expectancy. Death often occurs in the teenage years. So this young couple made I don't know how many trips to a specialist in St. Louis, and they virtually committed their lives to performing multiple respiratory treatments daily on this little girl, which they did admirably and without fail. And they wanted to have another child, and they were told that there was a 25% chance another child would have cystic fibrosis. So they thought, well, 75% chance she wouldn't, or the child wouldn't. So they had another child, a little girl, and she had cystic fibrosis as well. So there they were. Their evenings were devoted to performing lung treatments. The little girls were chronically ill and underweight all their lives. They were susceptible to and often developed colds and bronchitis, which led them to a flirtation with pneumonia and death. It's just constant. This was their life. And thanks to good medical care and the devoted care of their parents, their lives were prolonged, and the little girls grew into adulthood. They were in their mid-20s or so before they succumbed to the ravaging disease. And these two wonderful Christian people, people who became one in marriage and people who had the same God and the same Bible and attended the same church, these two Christians handled their extreme grief in polar opposite ways. Like Joshua and the spies, it caused them to divorce. My good friend left the church and reverted to his old ways. When the last time I saw him, his hair had grown long, and when I asked him where he was going to church, he shook his head and said, "Nowhere. It just didn't make sense to me anymore." His wife, on the other hand, she went on strong for the Lord, and she still does to this day, because she had peace with God. And she saw God in the circumstances, and she claimed his promises. These two people were as close in nature as anything could be. You know, they became one when they united in marriage, and they were one with the Lord. And one left the Lord, and one went on strong. And I'm not saying that I'd do any better, but I'm saying that we should. And I'm saying that we can. Colossians 1. To the saints and faithful brothers in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father. Colossians 3. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 1. To the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. 1 Thessalonians 5, now may the God of peace sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 3, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. 1 Timothy 1, to Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ our Lord. It's repeated again in 2 Timothy 1. Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ the Lord. You know, whatever happens, our first response should be, but we see Jesus in sickness, in distress, in uncertainty, in politics. When you're sick of the uncertainty of politics and it causes you distress, but we see Jesus. You know that old saying, no Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace. It's true, but some of us know Jesus and have no peace. And this ought so not to be. In Romans 3, it describes the unrighteous as having turned aside, becoming worthless. It says no one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave, and they use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, and in their paths are ruin and misery. And it culminates by saying that the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. We don't want to be included in that description. We are not the unrighteous. You know, we have been made righteous by the blood of Christ. The way of peace has been made known to us by the God of peace who indwells us, in whom we have become one. You know, we look behind and we see regret, and we look within and we see failure, and we look without and we see acrimony, and we look forward and we see fear, and we look up and we see Jesus. Grace and peace together in one sentence, in one declaration, are not false advertising. Grace isn't a lost leader designed to attract you and lure you in. Jesus said, my peace I give you. His peace has been given to us. It's something that we have. It's like vacation time in the workplace. It's there for you to use for your mental well-being and for optimal functioning at work. So it seems like with God's peace, it's there for our mental well-being and optimal functioning in life. You know, some would rather forego vacation time and trudge on and burn out. Jesus came that we might have life and we might have it more abundantly. And his peace is a big part of that. In the Lutheran church I go to sometimes, at the start of the service on Sunday mornings, they all stand up and they approach one another and they shake hands and they say, God's peace. They call that the sharing of the peace. It's in their bulletin every morning or every Sunday. It's a special thing that they do each Sunday, but you can only share something that you have. And if you have it, you should use it. Titus chapter 1 and verse 4, Titus, my true child in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. Philemon 1:3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:2, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. 2 Peter 1:2, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. 2 John 1:3, grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father's Son in truth and love. 3 John 1, peace be to you. Jude 1, 2, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Revelation 1, 4, John to the seven churches in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. You know, in the Gospel of Mark, we see Jesus as one who commanded the waves. Peace, be still, he said. The restless waves, the angry waves, the tumultuous waves, and the disciples marveled that even the wind and the waves obey him. We see him in Psalm 65 as the hope of all the ends of the earth and the farthest seas. The one who by his strength established the mountains being girded with might. We see him who stills the roaring of the seas and the roaring of their waves and the tumult of the peoples. In Psalm 107 we read that he made the storm be still and the waves of the sea were hushed. Cannot he calm our restless waves, our angry waves, the tumultuous waves in our lives that threaten to capsize our composure and our stability? Cannot he calm our unrest? The fleshly lusts, as Peter describes them, which war against the soul, he said, isn't that what war is? The absence of peace? Let the peace of God dwell in your hearts, we are told in Colossians. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The psalmist declared in 89, thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Cannot he still our raging thoughts and fears? Cannot he still this age of rage in which we find ourselves living? Therefore, the psalmist said, in the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. You know, we see him as someone with whom the day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is as one day. And I realize it may take years for our dilemma to be resolved. It may not be resolved this side of heaven. Are we going to be agitated and upset and in distress all that time? It is his desire that grace, mercy, and peace and love be multiplied to us. Omnipotence has heard our prayer. It will be done somehow, somewhere. In his letter to the Romans, Paul said, there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. In his letter to the Ephesians, he expressed his desire, Paul did, that they may know what is the hope to which they were called, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. The apostle exclaimed in chapter 3 that grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. I think that peace is part of the riches that he bestowed upon us when we were adopted into the family of God. Think of being adopted into the royal family in Great Britain. You know, the riches wouldn't just be the adoption, but the trappings that go along with it. The privilege of living in Buckingham Palace, and the servants, and the chefs, and the chauffeurs, and the prestige, and the art, and the jewels. But human royalty could never bestow peace upon their family or their subjects. It's something they don't have. It's something they can't give. That belongs to the King of the world, of whom it says Christ made peace by the blood of his cross. In Isaiah 57, we read, peace, peace to the far and to the near, says the Lord. But the wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet, and its waters toss up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. However, we, the redeemed, are to let the peace of God dwell in our hearts, to rule in our hearts. If peace is something God wants us to have, and if peace is something that we want to have, then we will have peace. When our desires are in alignment with God's desires, there can be no doubt. The question is, do you want peace? Will you take it?
Father, thank you this morning for this reminder. We serve a God who is a God of peace, and a God who wants us to know that peace throughout our life. And you promised that, Lord, in the midst of the storms, we can know that peace, because you still speak, "Peace be still," to the storm that goes on even inside our souls, God, if we let it. Help us, Lord, to let you bring us peace as we surrender to you and your ways. Be with us now as we go to our separate places. Give us Journey Mercy's home, God, and those that can return for tonight again. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.